Tonight on Arena, a New York exhibition of the work of Eileen Gray goes online, and new albums from Perfume Genius, Magnetic Fields and Moses Sumney up for review. #51551 is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. Eileen Gray is an exhibition on the work of Ireland's pioneer of 20th century design and architecture. The exhibition at the Bard Graduate Centre Gallery in New York City opened in late February but has since gone online and is now accessible to all, including us here in Ireland. This is the first in-depth exhibition in the United States that examines the total of Eileen Gray and is also the largest loan of 20th century decorative arts and design material from the collections of the National Museum of Ireland in several years. It includes never before publicly exhibited architectural drawings and archival materials. Dr. Jennifer Goff is curator of the Eileen Gray Collection, Furniture and Musical Instruments at the National Museum of Ireland, Collins Barracks, and is recognised as one of the world's leading experts on Gray's work and legacy. She was at the exhibition launch back in late February and joins me now on the line. We'll come to the specific of the exhibition and in fact what you knew back in February, with that whether you knew or not it was going to suddenly disappear off being able to be viewed directly but then would come online. But Gray herself, Jennifer, born in Wexford, lived most of her life in Paris, but you actually wrote essays in the catalogue that accompanies this exhibition, and you argue there that her Irish background was a huge influence on her work.
It was a really, thank you for having me on, Sean. It was a huge influence in her life, and not just her grandfather, who was a doctor, but her mother became semi important, involved in the life of Wexford. And Gray actually commissioned a genealogy survey going back to the name of Poundon, because her mother was Evelyn Poundon. And she discovered that her mother actually had relatives that had fought in the Wexford Rising in 1798. And she was so proud of that. So from the beginning, she was immensely proud of her family, the Irish heritage, and corrected journalists over and over again in relation that she was British, she was French. She always considered herself Irish.
And in fact, there's a touch of the 19th century novel, almost a bodice ripper, about some of the activities of the mother in particular, who eloped with a painter, James McLaren Smith, and caused quite a scandal, I would have thought, at the time.
Absolutely. Her grandmother, Lady Jane Stuart, was descendant of the Royal Household of Scotland, and also linked in with the Tudors in England. And her father was Jeremiah Ludsdale Poundon, who was a very respectable doctor who had studied at Trinity, became part of the archaeological group in Ireland, in Wexford. And when they married, Evelyn was their only child. So it was quite a scandal when she eloped to marry in 1863 a 31-year-old middle-class painter, James McLaren Smith, from Lancashire in England. And this really caused a scandal, not only just in the papers, but also in relation to heritage in England. And literally the whole thing began to change. And when her parents finally split, Gray had a really hard time accepting the title of Baroness of Gray or any relation to Barony of Gray. And her mother, literally when they had separated, just literally did not know how to take. She was so adverse to the scandal that was in the newspapers. And she just wanted to retreat and make sure that the family were okay. And between their time in Wexford and also in Kensington, she just wanted to make sure that
everything was
the children
fine.
Were fine.
But it does seem that the childhood that Eileen Gray had was quite blissful in many ways.
She, in other publications on Gray, they say that her childhood in Ireland was really, really awful. But this is not the case. And it came through through to Maeve Binchy, who wrote a wonderful article and had interviewed Gray, I think twice, during her lifetime. And she describes to Maeve Binchy that she remembers having the best times gathering flowers just in front of the house, bringing the flowers back to her mother, that they were put into a vase. And also she has the most wonderful memories of boating on the River Slaney, and also with her mother going up to the RDS, and they did the horse show.
The other thing is there were some major renovations, a couple of sets of major renovations done on the house at the time. Brownswood House was the house in Wexford that we're speaking about here. And even it would seem at a young age, Eileen Gray was already had an eye, because she considered some of the changes unimaginative, or certainly the style of the house unimaginative.
Well, what initially happened was Henry Tufnell Campbell, Gray's brother-in-law, had convinced her mother to revamp the house, which was once a beautiful Georgian 18th century two-storey, five-bay structure. And he felt that once her mother had reclaimed her title of Barony of Gray, that it was befitting that the house needed to be renovated, updated. It depends on what way you put it. But he completely influenced her mother in doing this. So initially, her mother, who Evelyn Poundon, was completely so pro Wexford and Enniscorthy, and she had been working on the storage areas in the estate, and had employed many people. Had been working away, this went on for about 4 years, and had employed William Mansfield to do the work at a cost of about £4,000 back in the day, which was very significant.
A lot of money, yeah.
And also employed half the people from Enniscorthy to do the work. And she was so involved in providing continuity for employment, healthcare, everything. So the work was completed, and then when the work was done, her son-in-law, Henry Tufnell Campbell, Eileen's brother-in-law, took over and said, okay, you've done the outworks, you've done the stables, you've done all the other buildings, but we need to do the house.
And that was where the problems arose. He was a bit of a villain in the piece in some ways. But let's get on to Gray herself, though, and her moving. She studied in Slade. I was kind of astonished at one of the statistics that you give within all of that. 168 women students in a class of 228?
Yeah.
I would have expected the gender balance to be the other way around, but no.
Well, the Sladers were considered to be the Sladers. It was for most people, it was considered to be a very good school, which it was. Don't get me wrong, but there was a gender bias to a certain degree, and she finally kind of broke that down when she went to Paris, and that was what she needed to do. So that happened at the Ecole Colorossi, and what was kind of extraordinary was that she changed from the Ecole Colorossi to the Académie Julien. And the Ecole Colorossi literally broke down everything in relation to new drawing, which was just shocking, because women alongside men doing sketches of new drawing was just, it was shocking at the time.
Shocking, yes, yeah.
So she literally had changed over then to the Académie Julien, which was more, it was more old school, which was very unusual.
Jared Festus Kelly was important in her move to Paris and in introducing her basically to Paris society and, really getting her career up and running.
He was an influential figure from start to finish. They met in the Slade, and their group of friends began from Kelly to Stephen Hoyce, Wyndham Lewis, Kathleen Bruce, who married the explorer Scott, Jesse Gavin, and they all went over to Paris around the same time. And Kelly and Gray became very good friends. I think Kelly might have been a little bit in love with her.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much her to him, but she really had a respect for him as a painter. And he actually did do a painting of Eileen Gray. And we know that from another Lothario of that particular period called Alistair Crowley, who in his autobiography wrote that Jared Kelly was panicking when he started wiping out a painting. He was trying to paint over a painting and realised it was the Honourable Miss Eileen Gray.
Who had made the painting, or it was a painting of her. Of course, there's a lot of speculation, and there has been consistent speculation around Eileen Gray's sexuality, so that might have something to do with how she felt about Kelly as well. But I'm wondering too, she was seen as being huge influence on artists like Mani Jallet and Evie Hone. Would their time in Paris have coincided with hers in any way, or are we out of kilter in terms of the history there?
No, not at all. Mani Jallet and Evie Hone were studying around the same time, and they had met André Lutz and Albert Gleizes, who both knew Gray. And Mani Jallet was introduced to Gray via both painters. And Mani Jallet actually had her rugs woven in Eileen Gray's workshop.
Oh, well, there you go.
In the Rue de Visconti.
So the huge, huge connections, in fact. Now, this exhibition then that's happening at the Bard Graduate Centre Gallery in New York, you know, generally we'd be saying, oh, isn't that lovely that it's in New York, but we can actually see it online now because of the way things have panned out, which you must have had no idea about when you were at the very exciting opening back in February. If we go to the virtual gallery on the website, what will we get to see?
See everything. And you go through every single stage of the exhibition. So the exhibition goes chronologically from her early years as an artist, the lacquer work, straight through to the furniture, straight through to Jean Désert, her shop, straight through to furniture, E1027, her house, Don Papaya, her other houses, and also architectural projects. And it kind of comes like full circle at the end. So
and material
the big
here
thing is that it links back into Ireland the whole way through, which has been a really lovely part of this exhibition.
And the other thing is there's material here that has never been seen before, some really new discoveries.
Absolutely. There are two lacquer panels in the first stage of the exhibition. One of them is called The Magician of the Night. It's a orange lacquer panel that everybody knows, in any favourite person who loves Eileen Gray. It's in the books, it's blue. This one is never been seen before. It comes from the family of a collector called William Dunn, who acquired this piece after seeing it nearly 10 years after when it was exhibited in San Francisco in 1915. And he and his wife had gone to Paris and they visited Eileen Gray and they purchased the piece long after it was first exhibited. There's another piece that's called, that's from the Maryhill Museum, that comes from Samuel Hill's collection. And he was a very good friend of the ballet dancer Lois Fuller. And Lois Fuller was Eileen Gray's agent in the States. And she introduced Gray to so many clients. And at the time of a particular exhibition that happened in 1915 called the Panama Pacific Exhibition, there was a group of work that Eileen had sent over and had exhibited, and she couldn't afford to bring the pieces back. So what happened was Fuller took the pieces as payment, and ultimately she passed on two pieces to Samuel Hill, which became the pieces that are now in the exhibition. And one of the pieces, the Magician of the Night, came back to Eileen Gray in Paris. And that travelled back, and that was the wonderful Magician of the Night screen. And William Dunn and his wife came over in 1922 and acquired that piece from Gray.
And there was also then a bedroom in Monte Carlo, a drawing that was discovered, and a whole new anteroom in there, and a white lacquered chair, which is classic kind of Eileen Gray material as well, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. This is down to Chloe Pitiot, who was the curator of the exhibition. And she initially, the exhibition has travelled from Pompidou at Paris, it came to IMMA, and then it's morphed into what's gone into New York.
One final thing I wanted to ask you about, actually. One final thing I wanted to ask you about as well. You know, obviously, that Monte Carlo drawing is there. But the house, there's a recording, a voice recording of Eileen Gray just before her death, or in the year before her death, where she makes clear about E1027 who was responsible for what was done in that house.
It was the most amazing story that came forward. It was discovered by a design student who'd interviewed Eileen Gray in the year before, in 1975, Andrew Hodgkinson. And we got in contact with him. Chloe has been working with Philippe Garner and her husband, who's Michael Pitiot, they've made a documentary. And the whole story has come about in relation to a portfolio that's in the National Museum of Ireland. And it's Gray talking about this portfolio. And she literally debunks all the myths and said, E1027 is by her. It's
nobody
not by
else.
Panavici. Nobody else.
All right. Well, listen, hopefully we will get to see the exhibition at some point. I know there's hope that some of it might come back to Dublin at some stage along, but we might talk to you about that when that comes to pass and when we can actually physically visit galleries again. In the meantime, Jennifer Goff telling us there about the Bard Graduate Centre Gallery and the exhibition now available online. Go to bgc.bard.edu, or if you just put in Bard Graduate Centre Gallery New York, you'll get there. Eileen Gray, Crossing Borders, the book of the exhibition featuring Jennifer Goff's essays, is available from Yale University Press.